All right, Marty Lurie here, KBR 68. It is Saturday, and that means a visit from the philosopher. That's Javier Lopez. And how are you? How's everything going?
Well, everything's going great, Marty. Thanks for having me on the show. It's, you know, just another beautiful weekend out here in San Francisco.
Yeah, Giants and Rockies coming up here. First of all, congratulations. Your alma mater, College World Series champions, the first time an ACC team wins in 60 years. I can't believe it.
It is kind of crazy when you think about some of the great teams that have been able to represent the ACC in that tournament, especially those strong Mike Martin teams at Florida State and obviously Georgia Tech with Veritek and Jay Payton and some of the big arms that have been in that conference and not be able to win at all is kind of quite shocking. But I was very excited. I think there's a couple of us in the Bay Area, you know, Doolittle over there with the A's as well as a Virginia alum. So we're all pretty excited about it and got a chance to get in touch with some of my former teammates. They were all watching and it was great. It was awesome.
Now, when you were in college, how far did you go as a team at Virginia? How far did you guys go?
Well, we tied this team with the wins. We had 44 wins. We lost. We had a different setup back when I was in college. Again, this was when Bush was in office, and Clinton, I should say, but it was just a regional tournament. So there was only 32 teams, and they split it up into the regions, and we lost in a region final to Alabama. So we never made it to Omaha, but that's as close as we got.
Now, in college, just so the fans understand, here we know exactly who you are. What did you do in college? What kind of player were you there?
I was a two-way player. I was playing a lot of outfield and a lot of first base, and I would actually in college you have the pitcher, you have a DH. The pitcher would lead off. That was my job most of the time. I was leading off or hitting second, sometimes third, fourth, or fifth, depending on how hot I was going or how cold I was going, where you hitting the lineup. But I was pretty much playing every day. So when I was pitching, I'd hit for myself, and on those other days, I'd be roaming the outfield.
Could you hit?
Oh, yeah, I was a way better hitter than I was a pitcher. There's no doubt about it. If you look up at the stats, I'm kind of shocked that I got drafted as a pitcher. But, you know, I think they draft on size, and I was able to throw the ball relatively hard back then. Now it's pedestrian, my velocity now. But, you know, back then I could run it up there a little bit.
All right, interesting. Javier Lopez with us. You know, going back to college days, you watch someone like yourself play college. You can hit, you can pitch and all that. And you get here, and we never see you hit.
That's very true. We don't get that opportunity as much. Obviously, the National League is something where you pride in, every pitcher takes a little pride in hitting. They think they can do it until they actually have to step in there and see how hard it is to hit 60 feet 6 inches coming at you at 90 plus. And, you know, I think my first hit in the big leagues is also my only hit in the big leagues.
Really?
And my first RBI is my last RBI. So, you know, it's only been a downhill spiral from there. But, you know, I think my last at-bat might have been 2011 or maybe 12 in an extra inning ball game. You don't find it very much for a middle reliever to get an opportunity.
No, but I have a feeling that if you got an at bat, everyone would watch and they wouldn't be laughing like they would for some of the other people.
Well, that's what I hope for, at least. That's in my mind. That's what I think that I can still hit. The bat speed isn't what it used to be. I think it's in particular in this park. This is where my last at bat was. Most people are watching because they don't want the screamer coming this way at the dugout. But you know, I pride myself in being able to grind out in that bat. I'm not going to say I'm going to get a hit, but I'll make the pitcher at least throw six or seven pitches if I can.
All right, one last thought here for Javier Lopez. Who'd you get the hit off of? Is he still in the game, or did he retire?
Actually, he's not. I think he might be in the minor leagues. Its name was Oscar Villarreal. It was 2003. He's a former teammate of mine. He was actually with the Diamondbacks at the time, and he tried to sneak a piece of cheese by the rat, and I was able to turn on it and drove in a run from second base. And again, like I said, that was the last time I got to taste the taste of a hit, and the taste of being on base has actually come to me after that. I got on an error, but beyond that, you know, it's something that I do miss. But you know, ultimately, pitching is what I need to focus on, and that's what I have been focusing on.
All right, now is the ball on eBay or do you have it at home?
Oh no, the ball's in a box somewhere at home. I think I have that. I'm not even sure exactly where it is. I know I have a general idea where it is. But, yeah, I haven't seen that ball since 2003.
All right, we'll move on. Javier Lopez, the philosopher, is with us. All right, the commissioner showed up this week, and you had a chance to see him. He addressed the team. Did you ask him any questions? And if you could, what would you ask him?
No, I didn't have an opportunity to ask him any questions. He came in yesterday. We had a day game. Time was tight. Obviously, he was discussing some of the issues that they're trying to implement, obviously pace of play and things like that. And, you know, there's some wiggle room on some of those things and replay and trying to speed up the game and maybe try to market ourselves a little bit better, I think, get into a younger demographic like some of the other sports. But it was very general. You know, he did open the floor to some questions. And obviously most of them, there was only a couple questions, and it was mainly about the travel that we're having to that we're coming up on, especially now going to Washington. We have a night game in Washington, an 8 o'clock ESPN game, and having to come back and play the next night, and how they might try to rectify those situations. But, you know, he did a great job of giving the non-answer to a lot of the questions, which is what you got to do in that spot. And you know what? It was nice, at least, for him to reach out and introduce himself. So now we get to, you know, we've been so used to seeing Selig around that now we got a new face, and it's nice that we have that open line of communication.
Yeah, he has email. Bud Selig did not have email.
That's right. He's, you know, this Rob Manfred's, he's putting himself out there, and I think it's a good thing. I think, obviously, everything's got to be collective bargain. That's how baseball works. That's how our union works. But, you know, to have the commissioner come out and address a ball club is something that's been pretty rare since I've been in the game, and it was refreshing to see.
All right. I did ask him a question in the press conference about the All-Star game, and I've taken it up on the show with the last couple of weekends with the fans, and I think it's an exhibition game. You get about 35 players, who knows who at the end of the game, and as Ron Wotus told us, you want to get everybody in the game. You would like to win the game, but it determines one of the most important parts of a Major League Baseball season. So I said, what about it? And he says, oh, I like it, and the players, you know, they play harder, and it's the only All-Star game that means something. But he never really answered my question.
Well, there you go. That's what he does. And you know what? I think a lot of people would probably agree with you with the All-Star game that, you know, it is kind of tough to have it decide home field advantage. You feel like you work your tail off to try to have a best record in the league, and to have it go for naught, in a sense, is it would be a tough pill to swallow. But, you know, again, it'll be collectively bargained, I'm sure, and there'll be something that'll come up in 2016.
Well, interesting. All right, I forgot about that maybe that could come up in the agreement. I said, and I didn't say this to him, I didn't want to get in an argument with him, but I was going to say, look, make interleague play, what league wins interleague play. Generally, American League wins, maybe that's the problem, but at least you'd have a race all year long. Every day you could look in the paper and see which teams are winning, and it could go down into September to decide it.
Well, that's certainly a thought. Obviously, I think anybody would look to some sort of new way or keep it somewhat interesting, and that's a good one in a sense that it is an all-year-long kind of race, which would be great. But, you know, again, I think I'm kind of a traditionalist in a sense that if you've worked your tail off to win ball games and been rewarded with a great year, that you should receive some sort of compensation for that, whether it is having home field advantage or what it might be. I don't know. But, you know, I feel like if you're running up there 95 to 100 victories and all you get, you don't get to host the World Series because you lost an All-Star game, That's a tough one.
Yeah, I think it's crazy. All right, I'll say it. I think it's crazy. All right. They seem to be using you a little differently now. And, you know, you had the tremendous batter-pitcher ratio against lefties, and the righties not so bad as well. Looks like they're trying to extend you a little bit.
I think so. Obviously, you know, we were carrying 8 pitchers in the pen now, and we're trying to just get the work in, and I think the situations have kind of worked out where I've been able to face a couple switch hitting righties and mixed in those lefties in between there too. So I think it's kind of been sprinkled in. It's always nice to be able to go out there and throw a full inning, you know, especially since I don't really get to do that since spring training for the most part. Most of the time I'm coming in very situationally. So to go out there and be able to repeat a delivery, try some different pitches that I normally throw and work on execution and basically my number one goal is to get ground balls. And as long as I'm still doing that, that's all right. But to be able to do it from guys that are on the other side of the plate that I normally don't face is also nice.
Well, you got a nice out the other day, ground ball back to the mound. You threw to second, and you got the guy, and I guess he was tagged by the fringe of the glove.
Yeah, looking back on the play, Bumgarner pitched such a great game for us, and you know, Venable, give him some credit. He kept the bat in the zone. I feel like he was beat on that fastball, but, you know, it hits a hit, and he gets on second base. And when I had that comebacker come back to me, I thought he was far enough off the base, and I wanted to just get the run out of scoring position. I'm pretty sure every coach and probably the professor will tell you that wasn't the smartest play. But ultimately, thank God, I throw sinkers, and it worked. I threw it right down into Crawford, right where he just had to basically apply the tag. So, you know, we got the out, and that was the most important thing. But doing it again, I don't know if I would do it. It would depend on that situation.
Did you sweat out the replay?
I absolutely did. Because from my angle, I just see his right hand reaching back towards the base, and I see it get in, and I can't tell where Craw's glove is. And he said that he got him right around the chest, neck area, and he wasn't sure about the right hand. But then, yeah, like you said, the little piece of string off the glove got him in the helmet, I believe it was. So, you know, an outs and out, we'll take it. Obviously, we didn't get the result that we wanted at the end of the game, but, you know, it's how baseball works.
This is what the game has turned into. The fringe of a glove makes the difference on replay at a millionth of a second. All right, Rob Manfred, that's what you want. That's what we got. This team's got some injuries now. Losing Aoki, Affelt is down now. Of course, Pence is still out. And I watched it this week. I said, well, you know, in life, maybe people have to be challenged. And maybe for the world champions, a challenge is thrown their way with these injuries.
I think that's the only way we can look at it at this point in time. Obviously, you'd like to just be able to make that magical trade or have that guy, that prospect, that mega prospect in the minor leagues just waiting for that phone call. I don't think we have any of those that are really in the works right now. There's guys that show potential, I think, in the minor leagues, and they probably want to slow play them a little bit. You don't want to put them in this tough position. Obviously, June allows you that opportunity to maybe try a couple new faces, but, you know, you're still trying to win a division and still trying to win ball games, and it's tough to do that all the time in pressure-packed games that we just naturally play, and in particular in this park, we're not scoring a whole lot of runs. So it gives another guy yet again to step up and do something. Maxwell continue to get some at-bats. Having Blanco back is a big help, I think. Obviously, you forget what you got till it's gone, and with that concussion, you know, you miss some speed, and a guy that could come off the bench, lay down a bunt, play some great outfield for you, even lead off if need be. So we're going to have some guys that are going to need to step up. Angel's, you know, running into walls and beating himself up on the field, but he's another guy that's going to have an opportunity to really step up and get going for us, and we're just trying to bide our time till Hunter gets healthy. And obviously Aoki is going to take a while, but you know, it's pitching and defense is what's going to win us some ball games. That's what we need to do.
You know, we like to have you as the philosopher, and Tim Flannery and I would talk about it. You know, now you're down to what, 88 games to go, 87 games to go, whatever it is. Now you win 16 out of 20, it's a big deal. You lose 16 out of 20, it's a big deal. Now as the weeks happen, the interesting part of the season, it starts to, the picture is starting to develop even more.
Yeah, I believe, you kind of said it right there. Ultimately, we have to be able to slow games down when they're not going well, and slow things down when they don't go well, and realize that it's just one game can spin things back into a positive for us. And that's how we look at the last two series. You know, obviously we got on top of LA real quick in LA, and we were able to win a series. We didn't finish it off the way we wanted to, but we came home. We take a tough loss against the Padres, but we come back and we win some ball games, and that's what you need. You want that positive momentum. You want to be able to win ball games and win series. You do that. You obviously scoreboard watch. You want to see when the Dodgers are playing a great team like the Cubs right now. You wanted to see the Cubs win a couple ball games just to see if you can inch a little closer. And the Cubs, to their credit, took a couple from them. But you know, you're going to scoreboard watch. But ultimately, you have to take care of your own business. And I know you hear it all the time. It's very cliche. But I think when guys kind of focus on the here and now and just winning a ball game, whether it's getting a guy over in a tough spot, facing a tough pitcher, to make it a little bit easier. I mean, the game is, like the philosopher always says, it's getting to third base with less than two outs. Yes. And good things are going to happen most of the time. And I think when we're clicking, we're doing that just as well as anybody. And I think that's where, obviously, the injuries are going to play a part. But we're going to bring some opportunities for guys that have maybe some speed and may not have the power, but have the ability to do those little things, and that's how you win ball games.
And that's the way you become a world champion. All right, pleasure to have you on as always. You hit these home Saturdays so beautifully as we go through the season. So as I say, it's starting to get a little tighter, and we'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great, Marty. Again, thanks for having me.
All right, pleasure. Javier Lopez, the philosopher, right here on KMBR 680, the sports leader.